Blog Talk Radio.
Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was Diana Ross and Supreme's Baby Love. Alrighty then, how's everybody doing this wonderful Wednesday evening? Hope everybody's doing good because I definitely am. And we also are going to have a really good time this evening on the show because I have a very special, special guest. And, you know, as always, our shows are for the mature listening audience. So if you're not 18, please find another station to listen to. And if you're listening to this, I'm not going to be held responsible for anything that you take away from it. Okay, with that being said, I want to introduce my guest this evening. She's Murray Goyer. She is a holistic fertility, pregnancy, and reproductive health specialist who offers safe, natural, integrative techniques for women wanting to be mothers. She draws upon her traditional training in marriage and family therapy and her specialty in holistic mind-body techniques to offer a new way of approaching fertility, birth, and wellness for women. Murray supports women, couples who are dealing with a range of challenges, hormonal imbalances, infertility, pregnancy loss, relational difficulties, sexual trauma, birth trauma, postpartum depression, anxiety and stress, and etc. She works with women to clear reproductive imbalances, increases fertility, and step into motherhood from a place of connection, confidence, and peace. Her approach, first used to heal herself of cervical cancer, is now offered locally and international. Now, we really are going to have a good time because she cured herself of cervical cancer, and I'm quite sure that there may be some women on in the audience who are listening who may be affected by this dreadful disease, because cancer is just such a horrific, horrible disease in any form, any, you know, vital organ that attacks in the body. But for women, cervical cancer is very deadly. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our this evening's guest, Mary, okay?
Hi,
good
Gail.
Evening,
thanks
Mary.
For having me.
You're more than welcome,
here.
Darling. Yes, yes. We're very interested to get this show on the road. Now, how long have you been, and what made you get into this profession that you're in, holistic fertility specialist? How did that come about in your life?
Yeah, I mean, my personal story had a lot to do with it, for sure. As you mentioned, I was already studying to be a marriage and family therapist, and but I was definitely just very Western in terms of my training, just, you know, looking to be a school counselor, and I was an elementary school teacher before that, and just very traditional medical model. And having this diagnosis of cervical cancer, and I'll tell you the story, but it really prompted me into this world of holistic health. And, you know, it was years later, as I was working with clients, one of my first clients who started to understand the mind-body connection based on the work that we were doing. We were working on something completely different at first, but she said to me, hey, actually, I just went with my husband to the doctor. We've been trying to have kids for some time, and we just, you know, got a sense of all that we're going to be up for if we go that route. And I'm wondering, what do you think about trying this instead, trying your approach specifically on fertility instead? And I just thought, well, like, let me tell you my story of what happened in my body. I think we could make some real, you know, headway with this. And she got pregnant within 3 months of starting to focus our work specifically on her reproductive health, and went on to have an easy, natural birth, got pregnant the second time without any time lag at all. And the rest is kind of history. I started to focus on it more and more and build programming for women to, you know, just kind of teach, like, and even in situations just like this, so that women could really find out, like, all the different components that are really impacting them quite physically, and so that they can be empowered and decide, like, oh, okay, these are the types of things that might actually make a difference in my body.
Okay. Now, what exactly is the approach that you take to help a woman who's having difficulties, you know, such as the things that she go through, hormonal imbalances and pregnancy loss, and, you know, different things like that. How do you get that balance back into her and, you know, get this woman on the way to becoming pregnant?
It's a good question because, you know, so many practitioners focus on very, very specific parts of the equation. And part of what my work is about, just in the fact that it's holistic, is looking at the ways, connecting the dots between the physical body and all the things that are going on. We look at nutrition. We look at stress. We look at inflammation and anything that might be impacting the inflammatory response in the body, so food and toxins, environmental stressors. And then also, you know, as we look more at the emotional side for a lot of women, and this was the case with me in terms of, you know, my story, which we can circle back around to whenever there's a good opportunity, but the emotional piece is often the missing piece. You know, how does, you know, so many women, we run our lives in a very masculine way. You know, like, I tend to attract a lot of clients to me that are very type A, very smart, very successful, corporate type career women. And there's a lot of stress that goes with that. There's not a lot of room for what I kind of call the feminine energy. And then in a very nuts and bolts kind of way, there's just there's pressure. There's not enough time to eat the kinds of foods that promote fertility. And So in when I'm working with a brand new couple, I'm looking really at all of these things all together and seeing like, okay, what's the most pressing thing for you? And then how can we kind of create a plan that hits all the main buttons, you know, in terms of making a change in your body. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does, because you had mentioned stress and then the fact of her going through these changes with her job and diet.
Yeah.
Now, I know diet plays a big part in a lot of things that goes on in a person's life. And if you're not eating properly, you know, these things can arise, such as diabetes, hypertension, and, you know, different things like that. So I mm-hmm. can imagine it playing a part in as far as, you know, a woman being fertile or getting fertile as well, because, you know, the right foods will work with the right hormones in your body and, you know, get those things going. And
that's right.
stress is just, oh my goodness, it's just such I can't even begin to embark on that.
I know, we all just take it by it that like
because stress can really, it can kill, you know, so I can understand that going into the body and just discombobulating everything and, you know, changing everything up. So that's a good point as well. And then you're speaking of the woman not being the feminization of, you know, the woman as well, because if she's working a corporate job and having all this stress on her, then she's basically taking on this whole different personality, so to speak. Those are things
It's kind of like also being this floating head, you know, like this was part of my my journey as well, is, you know, like I was very disconnected from my body, you know, neck down. You know, I was just constantly a very heady person, always just thinking, problem solving, and, you know, really had no sense of what was going on, you know, anywhere else in my body. And, you know, and that's that linear, just heady way is also sort of the thing that is so common in our culture. We're brought up, you know, very few people are brought up to be anything but. We're rewarded the more heady we are, in fact, in our school systems and so forth. And so when our body starts to give us signals to pay attention to it, it's difficult for us to notice them because we're not, you know, our body's kind of like off of our radar. And until something shows up at that level of like pain, you must pay attention to me. That's when we kind of go like, oh, big wake up call, you know? And unfortunately it takes that for some of us just because we haven't been trained to pay attention to anything that shows up more on a more subtle level.
Right. And that's another thing. When you ignore signs that your body's telling you that, you know, I want sleep or I want to eat, and you ignore them, that causes, you know, your system to go into chaotic states and, you know, different things as well. So a person needs to pay attention when your body is telling you something. You know, if you're having migraine headaches constantly, you need to find out why. And
Versus
you know,
overriding them.
Right, because it could lead to other things. You know, it could just lead to something else, and it may lead to something worse. So when your body is telling you, I'm sleepy, go to sleep. If it's telling you, I'm hungry, eat, you know. And, you know, you have to give in to the things that your body desires, because if you don't take care of it, it's not going to take care of you.
Exactly. Well, and it's just it's just so true that, like, all of these things that we're talking about interrelate with each other, too, you know, because really what it comes down to is for, you know, like, if you think about the stress response in the body, what happens when our body, you know, just from an evolutionary standpoint, when the fight-or-flight system is signaled to turn on, you know, our body is set up to send all the resources to our arms and our legs kind of away from any of the physical processes that it considers to be like kind of secondary, or in the moment of, like, you know, fighting off a lion, it's not important to be digesting. It's not important, you know, reproduction takes a back seat, and also higher level thinking takes a back seat. So blood drains from the kind of thinking, that frontal cortex part of the brain. And all the resources are just directed elsewhere. And now, in situations when people really are in some kind of a life or death scenario, this is what gives us the power to run for our lives or to save our lives in some capacity. But the problem is that the body hasn't learned the difference between those kinds of stressors that are truly, like, when our security is really at risk or our safety is really at risk, and the kinds of stressors that are more like deadlines, money issues, arguments with our spouses, things like that, that are not actually life-threatening. The body still treats them like they are. And when that stress response is chronically being triggered, we see that the blood that normally would be going to, say, the reproductive system is constantly being rerouted. So those organs are consistently not getting the oxygen and the blood and the different things that allow for detox. That's just not happening the way that it needs to be on a day-to-day basis. And
right.
So whether it's stress outside of you or the stress that comes into the body from eating processed food, either way, the body is just under-equipped deal with all the accumulated stresses that we all have from, decades of foods that are, filled with pesticides and genetically modified, and also there's this high pressure culture that we have created.
Wow.
It's too much, and so no wonder these statistics around infertility and miscarriage, they just keep climbing and climbing and climbing. And I think that the stress, with all these nuances that are sort of beginning to fold into it, is really the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's discuss the 3 secrets to get rid of stress and get pregnant.
Yeah. So there's 3 things to look at when you're talking about stress. And the first thing that I always start with, and we've sort of already touched on these, but the first thing is to really look at what's going on nutritionally. And to really, like, this is something that most people, especially if you're struggling with fertility or have had multiple miscarriages, need to do with some kind of a professional who can lead you through and can, there's not really any package thing that works for everyone, but you really have to find out how your autoimmune system and the inflammatory response, like what's going on in your body around those 2 things. And so you got to find any foods that aren't working for you and make some major changes. That's one of the biggest things that makes a huge difference in the way that your body is able to process stress. Now, as a side note, inflammation in the body is also highly related to depression and different psychological or mental mood disorders. I'm doing some research right now and learning a lot about just how much changing diet actually impacts depression and anxiety in people, because this, it's like we're just learning that there's so much going on in the gut that we never gave the gut its due, but it is responsible for not only our mental health but our physical health as well. And so any changes that are made nutritionally more whole foods, more organic foods, and in general, like the foods that you would have seen in your grandma's cabinet, those are the types of things that you need to start moving towards. But just doing that is not enough, because bread is different these days than it was for our grandmothers. corn is
That's
different
true.
These days, you know. So,
and then
unfortunately, it's not
the pesticides and things that are in the food.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the
all the things they're putting in the foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steroids.
And most people know about that now a little bit, but I'm still noticing that a lot of people are kind of aware of, like, oh, all the pesticides that are in corn, but they're still drinking sodas. You know, I had a lady just the other day sit down, you know, with me for just a consult, and she was, you know, drinking a diet soda. And, you know, and there's not a judgment for that because, you know, I used to drink that stuff too. But I just think, like, oh, wow, like, here's a, you know, someone was an attorney and has been in this journey for some time and has done her research. And I was just thinking, like, wow, there really are some gaps, you know, even when people are looking online for all the information that they can find. it's still really difficult.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the first thing, you know, in terms of releasing stress. The second thing that I really want to point people towards is looking at what's going on for them emotionally, and to really empower people with the, even just the belief, this is like a paradigm shifter right here for some people listening, and that is that you absolutely, if you have things that you're anxious about or scared of, you have phobias, you have traumas, especially for women, a lot of my clients have fears or traumas around doctor's office, certainly if they've already been through an IVF cycle and, you know, a number of procedures. They might have traumas and fears around that. Stuff around age, like that clock is ticking and there's just pressure and they're reading stuff in the media about how, like, oh, God, if you hit this age, you're out of luck. And, you know, like, just the more things that they read and the more things that happen, just keep adding to it. And I really want people to understand that it is actually possible for those kinds of things to be healed, so that you really can approach your fertility from a place of calm and peace and empowerment versus this sort of like desperate, frenetic, I'm hoping, but I'm gripping, I'm not sure I believe it, you know, kind of a space. And that makes a huge difference, of course, with the stress response in the body. When you're really able to relax and surrender, you can't relax just because you try to. I mean, everybody would be doing it if that was even possible. You know, like, people tell me that all the time, but they hate it when people tell them, just relax, just go on a vacation. You know, it's such a trite piece of advice that sometimes people, you know, with good intentions try to provide. But these kinds of stressors can't necessarily be neutralized with your mind. You can't just think yourself out of them because they're running through your neurology. You know, they're running through that kind of like that more subtle layer of like that soundtrack that's always running through your body. If that soundtrack is filled with fears, and if that kind of running commentary that's going through your head is sort of that negative, you know, mind chatter, then that's absolutely important for you to pay attention to. And then
wow.
The third thing, which of course is going to be near and dear to your heart, I'm sure, Gail, because I know you do a lot of work around this with this show and all that you're up to, is really getting clean around sexuality. And, you know, this is something, I mean, sometimes people come to me knowing that they've got, they have a history of sexual trauma, or they are aware that some experience with maybe a past abortion or something like that is definitely in the mix for them. But what I have found is that sexuality is something that in some form or fashion needs to be addressed by practically everybody I see. And, you know, in my own story, in fact, I'll just go ahead and tell a little bit about it now, because what happened for me with cervical cancer, and so, you know, all of reproductive health kind of has, you know, of course, these certain themes in common in terms of whether you're balanced around these things or not. And what happened for me was the very night before I went to the doctor's office and heard this diagnosis was I was told, or I mean, I had a series of nightmares, rather. I had a series of nightmares the night before that were just like one after the other after the other. Just like a night where I woke up like exhausted and then I went back to sleep and would have another just terrible nightmare. And they were all about sexuality and guilt and religious programming. I was raised Catholic. And even though I was kind of raised like I would say maybe a liberal Catholic and felt very resolved around my sexual history and mentally at least, according to this dream, not so much. body image, you know, shame, you know, just all the stuff around being a woman and being a sexual being showed up in these dreams. And so for me, even though I never had much thought about the mind-body connection before, for some reason, I mean, I still remember I was driving home from the doctor's office and I was at a, you know, at a red light, just kind of sitting there, and I had one of those aha moments. It just clicked. I was just thinking about all those nightmares because I was into dream analysis. I was, you know, working on a marriage and family therapy degree, and I thought, I get it. Like all of that stuff, even though it's resolved on the one hand, on some deeper level, apparently not, because I just suddenly felt like sure that that was what was showing up in my cervix. Was just this quote-unquote cancer, these cancerous beliefs that I didn't even, I mean, I was kind of ticked off, to be completely honest. I was like, but this is, you know, why should I have to deal with this stuff? I don't even actually believe these things. I don't believe I'm bad. I don't believe I'm going to hell, you know. I don't believe any of that, and yet somewhere in me it was still kind of running. And so what I did was I went home and there was this weird, I don't know, almost like a glitch that happened that worked in my favor ultimately because the woman that was going to do the doctor that was going to do the procedure, I was in school full time. So this was all going through my student insurance and basically surgical procedure that I needed to have done. And then chemotherapy and radiation protocols would be decided based on exactly what they found in the surgery. They had to delay it for 3 months. I couldn't have my surgery. And I heard this message, like I just felt this peace, like don't worry about it. I felt this like little, almost like a little presence and just like, it's okay. You know, just keep working on what you can. And so,
why was the surgery delayed?
It was because this lady was donating her time because of the way that she was being paid. And so she only had a certain number of slots available on her schedule. And I had to wait in line, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Because I didn't have the good kind of insurance, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So, yeah. The cheap student insurance.
Right, okay.
So I wish I had even thought to research nutrition and body work and some of the things, you know, and I certainly didn't have any of the tools that I now use with clients. But I did start just journaling about this stuff, and I started journaling about the beliefs that I really wanted to be running through my body, what, you know, what I felt really was true, and I did kind of go through my own little personal process with all that stuff, and it wasn't anything real formal, but by the time I got to the surgery, I went into the procedure, and I came back out, they said, you know, your cells are perfectly healthy. Like, we could not find anything. There's not even anything to biopsy. Like, we would, and the lady said, I'm a very aggressive biopsy. You know, I take aggressive biopsy specimens. Like, I didn't find anything. And so she's like, so I'm going to run more tests. And they went ahead and did several more pap smears and on. But they never found anything after that. And, I just knew that this was a turning point for me. Like, I knew I had to figure out what in the world had just happened and how
wow.
I could do more of it. So, yeah. So for even me, you know, like sexuality stuff, I mean, was huge. And it wasn't like I had what I considered any major baggage around it. But it didn't matter. Like there's more going on than we realize around our sexual beliefs just by being a living, breathing, you know, woman in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always tell my clients, I said, did you know that they have said statistically young girls, age 8 is when body image peaks for young girls in America. And by age 9, body image starts to go down and down and down. Like, we like our bodies best at age 8, and then it's a downhill trend from there. You know, like, wow, like our bodies are taking a lot of hits, and, you know, we're really hard on ourselves, and these things just really add up.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the neurology of infidelity, and we're also going to get back into talking about how you cure your cervical cancer, okay?
Great.
Okay.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Thank you. Then welcome back, everybody. That was my Ebony Princess, and I'm sorry I forgot who sang that song, but the next time we talk, I'll let you guys know. We're here this evening with our wonderful guest, Mary Goyer, and she's discussing what her profession is, which is she's a holistic, holistic fertility, pregnancy, and reproductive health specialist. And we've talked about the different things that she does in her business. We spoke about the three secrets to get rid of stress and get pregnant, and we also touched a little bit on how she had cervical cancer, and we're going to get back to that, but right now we're going to go into the neurology of infertility.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, the first thing I do want to offer any of your listeners, there's I have a special gift for anybody that's listening that's interested in preconception preparation. You know, whether you're struggling to get pregnant or you're just kind of beginning to think about it, and if you're kind of curious about this holistic stuff that I've been sharing about on my website on aufertility.com. There's you'll get a bundle of gifts if you want to go there and sign up for them that has a holistic fertility self quiz. You can quiz yourself. You can there's a list of books that I like on both the fertility topic and also like just parenting books in general. And then the third thing, which is also really cool, I haven't seen anything else much like this, but I've put together a preconception checklist. You know, so that from a holistic perspective, you can, you know, like if you want to get pregnant in the next year versus the next 6 months or 3 months, you know, here are the different things you need to do. And so for anybody that's interested in any of those, you can find them on my website. Happy to share them. So aufertility.com. And so let's talk neurology.
Okay.
Not the sexiest topic for this time of night, but I'll do my best to keep it a little
spicy. Okay, go right ahead.
the main thing that's really important to know about neurology is that, we have this part of the brain, this logical part of the brain that understands certain things and can maybe logically understand, like, oh, it's safe for me to get pregnant, or my relationship will be fine if I get pregnant, or whatever. But the thing is that that's only the frontal part of the brain. The hindbrain, some people call it the critter brain, and some people call it the monkey mind. But that hindbrain, that's where it counts. If you've got fears in your hindbrain, then that's really what's showing up in your body and kind of informing whether there's tension or stress or gripping or lack of circulation in your body. So when people think about, like, you know, those instances, you probably had this happen. I mean, I think we all have, where you logically get that you shouldn't be upset about something, but you are. Or you logically get that, you know, something that you're totally safe, that you shouldn't be scared, but you can't help it. You just are. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about neurology in this context, is the parts of the brain and the parts of the neurological system that are holding old stuff. And, you know, in talk therapy, we can't really access that part of the brain. In talk therapy, we really only access that thinking brain. And yet this hind brain, it just doesn't connect to words and logic and so forth. It's just emotional, and it kind of speaks its own language. And so when we do fertility work, we're really looking at making changes at that level. And so for women that come to me that say, like, I logically do understand that I definitely have more time. I can't help it. Every single month, I just feel so much pressure. Like, if I don't get pregnant this month, it's a disaster. You know, and then it makes it difficult for her to take the time to really set things up in the way that she otherwise would, and relax and enjoy what's available to her. So that's
on,
the first thing about neurology. Yeah. Go, yeah, please. Let me know.
So I was going to say, it's almost like changing their conscious thoughts or their thoughts that are on the surface.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. So we do want to change them in both places. Like, logically, like, there are some people that also have issues in terms of, like, the logical mind. Like, the logical mind's not on board either, you know, in which case it's really helpful to look at both. But, you know, like, if there's just that underlying sense of, like, you know, doom and gloom, or that kind of, like, a tendency just to be in that space of fear, it may be even very vague fear. People may not at first even know exactly what they're scared of, you know, or, like, why sex or why parenthood or why anything around this may be, you know, it's like, they may not have a lot of content, but nonetheless, if that part of the brain is holding something, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that is impacting the body.
Do you actually educate or do any kind of cleansing of the mind to encourage the blockages to be cleared?
Absolutely.
Or do you use any kind of stones or herbal products when you are dealing with your client?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I don't have specific products that I recommend because, like I said, I think that that's something that needs to be individualized. And it also depends on where a client is, because I work with people all over the world. And so certain clients that are working with me remotely might work with a physical practitioner. Like, I tend to collaborate with a lot of naturopaths and acupuncturists, and then also some Western medical doctors too. But I'm always working hand in hand with them. And yes, I think a cleanse that is evidence-based is a really important piece to all of this. And even you asking during this time when I'm talking about neurology is perfect, because like I was sort of saying before, these things are much more related than they would even seem on the surface. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I was wondering, because you know, sometimes it just takes that simple cleanse or even meditation. When you talk about the mind, you talked about it earlier, sometimes we need to detox ourselves through meditation or some type of herbal cleanse or even stones. Yeah. I think that a lot of times people are not educated enough with the energy within the stones as well that helps. So I just was wondering if you utilize that in your practice.
Yeah. We're looking at all of those things, and people, the nice thing is that, like, a person's body really can give a lot of information. I have a certain way that I can assess for for one individual client versus another. You know, I work with groups too. I have group programs, but when I'm working one-on-one, we really like hone in on specifics as far as like, okay, you need that kind of a physical protocol. And you, like, you've got the nutrition piece under control, more or less. Like, what you need to focus on is this other thing over here. That's going to be your kingpin, you know. So, yeah, it's
great.
It's definitely
great.
Important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing about neurology, and I'll just kind of put a little plug in for one of my passions in this work, and that is prenatal psychology. In other words, the ways that whatever happens to us during our experience in utero impacts mm-hmm. who we become emotionally and, you know, what our personality kind of shapes up to be. There's a huge correlation between the two, and often it's a field that's only really kind of like starting to get some headlines at this point. But one of the things that we also look at neurologically are three major beliefs that women need to have in place in order to be in the most optimal space for fertility and for birth in general, and also, frankly, to become parents, you know. And the first is, I am wanted. And the second is, I'm okay. Like, inherently, I am good. And the third is that the world is safe. Like, this place is safe for me to be. And if a client comes to me and we find that one of those beliefs is not in place, more often than not, it links back to her experience when her mom was pregnant with her, or his, if it's for her husband, for her partner. So for example, like, I had a client just the other day who, I was like, well, what was your mom's situation when she was pregnant with you? And she's like, oh yeah, they were financially strapped. She was stressed out. She wasn't expecting to get pregnant right then. They scrambled to get married. And, you know, just depending, you know, babies in utero are sentient. They're aware. They know some of what's going on. And if she registered that stuff, she could have registered that as, like, I'm not wanted. Like, look at them. They're freaking out at this news that they're pregnant with me. And she, of course, this is, again, this example where her logical brain understands that it all worked out. And, of course, her mom is thrilled that she's there and loves her. And, you know, there's no, like, issues there. But on that subtle neurological level, there's still this program that was running through it that we had to do some healing on that was like, I'm not wanted. And that's really important work to do. I know it's kind of abstract, but it's so powerful.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. Now, I just wanted to ask another question. Do you deal with, in your practice, do you deal any, because you're talking about astrological phases as well, so I'm wondering, do you deal with like the moon phases as well, and when the astrological sign is aligned in certain moon phases during the time it's good to have children or for a woman to become pregnant or anything like that?
That's interesting. You know, I don't so much focus on that in any overt ways, but I do recognize the significance of those kinds of forces. And in particular, I also, sometimes I do speak to this with clients, you know, because one of the things that, you know, like, there's always this timing piece. There's this, you know, clearly we don't have control over certain things around timing. And, you know, like, if a soul wants to come in, you know, then my belief is that they have a particular mission. They have something that they want to come in and do. They want to come in and be somebody specific, and they're going to need to be born at a particular time in order to like, kind of set that up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I do talk about that with clients, and I think it's a great question, though. It's it's something that I would, I think would be interesting to bring into the mix even more. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, that, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's Jay, my other co-host.
Mhm. yeah, okay. I really love what you're discussing because I love the holistic side of deal with energy and different things like that, and that's why I was asking if you deal with some of that because in research and through interviews that we've had with guests, we've also learned that sometimes the compatibility with blood types may also be a factor.
Yes.
So I guess my next question is, do you kind of touch on that when you're dealing with your holistic practice?
Well, some of those pieces are often more, so my focus is much more on the mental, emotional, spiritual side
of
things.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of times people have those kinds of things, like, attended to with whoever their physical practitioner is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah,
okay.
It's important to address, for sure. You're right on the nose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
that's
I love
question.
That you deal with the mind and the energy of things because thought is so powerful, and I believe that that is also what really hinders women when they're trying to figure out, you know, why am I not getting pregnant? What is going on with me, with my body? And what I don't like personally is that a lot of times we depend on medicine and the doctors when sometimes it's just something simple as aligning our mind and our bodies and spirit with what is going on. So I like that you take on that practice because it's not always medicine, but we do trust doctors, you know, and
their
medical
saying,
or
education
through book smart, you know.
Exactly. Not only that, but like I always tell people, in fact, if people listening right here or right now were to only get one message from me, this would probably be the one thing I most want women to understand about fertility, is that fertility is not just a physical event,
right.
You know, and if you're only looking at it as a physical event, you are missing a huge percentage of what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you start to look at the whole picture all together, including physical, but including all these other pieces that we've really begun to touch on, you have a much higher chance of having a success at whether you're wanting to get pregnant naturally or whether you're already ready to look at assisted reproductive technologies. Either way, looking at the whole picture dramatically increases, some say up to 80 or 90% increase of your of the statistics for your success. So I mean, like, that's a powerful number. That's huge.
Right, exactly. Well, let me just ask you this, since we're talking about the power of the mind, because, you know, my mindset on this is, I'm wondering, is it probably the same as what you would be thinking on this? But what are your thought process with women who have, they are artificially assimilated with, you know, the doctor is doing what he has to do on his end? But her mindset is still that negative mindset. She's scared that she's not going to get pregnant, and, you know, she's very stressed. For those women who may be listening, what is your mindset or your thought process to the mind that is not in alignment with positive thought?
Exactly. It's still, it's as important there as anywhere else. And I see this all the time. Like, in fact, a lot of times what happens is women will come to me and they'll admit that they don't really feel aligned with doing IVF, but they're doing it anyways because they feel like they're backed up against the wall. And so on some level, like, some part of them is actually fighting the very process that they're spending thousands of dollars to have, you know, whereas if we take a little bit of time, even if they're going to go ahead and go that route, to just really get them in the space of them like, and on a physical level and on a neurological level of like, this treatment is going to really support me. I'm going to align with it. I resonate with it. This is going to help my body versus intruder. This is unnatural, you know, whatever. If there's any of those kinds of thoughts, then it's kind of like putting the brakes and the gas on, you know, at the same time in the car. You're really impacting the possibilities for it to work for you. So yeah, it's super important to look at mindset at any stage of any of this. Yeah,
that's heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, it is heartbreaking when women, you know, say like, oh, yeah, I mean, I've been through two cycles, but I really hated every minute of it. Or some of them, you know, experience like so many traumas just by insensitive remarks or feeling like they're just handled, you know, like they're a piece of meat, you know. And so, you know, for those women, that's exactly what we start working on, because that's the thing that's the most pressing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
Well, we're going to take another little short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the sexual acclimate for couples. And if anyone out there wants to speak to my guests this evening, have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. We'll
yes,
be right
call
back.
Call in.
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com. Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often, he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y Publishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
Everybody, this is Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. And this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Jay Byron, and our wonderful guest this evening, Mary Goyer. That was Gladys Knight and the Pips Giving Up. And now we're going to get into the discussion of the sexual acclimé for couples. We've discussed quite a bit this evening, and we still have a little bit more to go. So we're going to get into the sexual acclimé for couples. Can we get into that now, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to kind of make it sort of short and sweet because I want to make sure that there's at least a little bit of time for any questions in case somebody has one. I want to get that in, and I could talk on any of these topics for some time. But sexual alchemy, you know, what I'm talking about with that is really, you know, alchemy is all about, you know, changing one thing into something better. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what we look at when we're talking about sexual alchemy is basically conception night and all of the things that you can do that make a huge difference in how, you know, it's not just like, you know, sex like you would have any other time, but creating a certain specialness or ritual or some people call it conscious conception, is really an interesting piece to the whole fertility segment, and really understanding that when you have an intention for something along the lines of alchemy, even though you probably aren't using that word per se, it makes a big difference in the transformation that's available between you and your mm-hmm. partner. If you actually, you know, you've all had those experiences of sex that's just like goes above and beyond, creates more connection, more intimacy. That's the kind of sexual experience that ideally you want to have when you conceive. And so one of the things I really like to work with people on, especially if the fertility journey has kind of drained the mojo in the bedroom, is really getting that connection back with in sex, and also just in general with your partner, so that you feel good together again. Feel like, you mm-hmm. know, sex can, when you're struggling with fertility, be all about charts and thermometers and, well, we got to go have sex because I'm ovulating, honey. And that creates sort of like dry soil, you know, and it's difficult to take seed in that kind of a situation. So we really want to create that connective, juicy, vibrant sexual experience that makes a huge difference.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, audience out there, if you have any questions, please call in. Don't be afraid. You know, we have someone here that can answer any question you have.
Yeah.
So call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. Okay.
And if not, I also just want to tell people, if you're just, like, if you're catching this, you're downloading it, you can also email me. I'm happy to take questions and answer as best as I can, you know, over email. I want to put that offer out as well. So if you sign up at my website,
okay.
you'll be able to get my email address, and I'm happy to respond there.
Right, because we have some people that really may be a little bit conscious about talking over the
airwaves. Yeah, it's a sensitive topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Raise your hand.
But it's also a very good topic, you know, because there are women out there who may be going through, you know, some of the things we spoke of this evening, you know, the stress and, you know, not having a proper diet, and, you know, things that they may not have known from the beginning, and now that they're, you know, absorbing this knowledge, it may be something that they want to discuss with you personally.
I think that sometimes a topic like this is so delicate, you know, especially with women who want to change their mindset, help their bodies so that they can strengthen their mind in order to produce. And to call in and to ask such private questions may have been a little bit intimidating for some people. So
that's why I wanted to make the email offer. If that feels better, that is totally fine with me. I'm happy to educate or help. Or I also do offer free consults for people that really want, you know, a lot. But yeah.
Oh, great.
And I think this is an amazing thing for women who want to get pregnant and not go the, you know, having all those
medical
chemicals
route.
And different things and, going the medical round, you know, doing it holistically, because that's how our bodies was built anyway. You know, putting chemicals in it, it takes us off balance, you know, so because,
And
this is very good.
Not just that, it's that, you know, again, when we talk about how doctors perform on our bodies and the medicine that they give us, a lot of times through, you know, maybe trial and error, or, you know, this worked with this patient, so it's going to work with you, that medicine medically may not be right with our body. It may, you know, throw us off balance, or
start
to feel jittery or nervous or feel sick. But because it worked for that other person and they became healthy, or they had a success rate within themselves with the pregnancy, doesn't mean that that's for you. You may need a holistic, really need to go
approach.
A holistic route. And I think that you will get a higher success rate with that anyway, because you're doing it in a much natural what it's meant to be. This is meant to be like this, opposed to having medicine dumped in your body, and it's no telling what you're going to do to your baby, your fetus,
right,
before it turns into a baby, when you're having all of this medical scientific things being done to you in your fetus. So, yeah.
Right, well,
because sometimes
we're approaching things that we're finding out what the real problem is. Versus just, you know, medicine tends to suppress symptoms. And, so it is much better for you and the baby, and also better for your overall health. You know, like anything
Absolutely.
That you do from a holistic perspective is going to benefit everything else.
Right, because I know of a young lady, she was born with no arms because of some medication that they had given her mother when she was pregnant. You know, so it's not really good to, you know, even mess around like that. Because when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I think I had the flu or something, I went to the emergency room. They told me they couldn't give me anything. I had to suffer through that flu.
Yeah.
But luckily, I got this, this lady had told me to cut up some onions and tie them in a sock and put them on my wrist and around my neck. And that actually helped. Now, maybe from the belief of it working, but, you know, I did that opposed to them giving me chemicals to put in my body while I was pregnant with my daughter. Yeah, because those, it can do things to the baby, you know, unnecessarily. And holistically is the way that I like to go anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for giving me a chance.
I did ask you this. I said I'm going to quickly ask you, and then I know we're going to end the show. Do you do any womb healing, like any kind of herbal steam cleansing or anything? I know that you said that you deal with the mindset and everything, but I don't know if you research that or you have anyone that deals with that as well, because I just think that all of that aligns so great with the energy in the mind.
Yeah, I do. I actually just discovered doing what they call a yoni steam or a vaginal steam. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So powerful.
Great.
I was just thinking I need to write an article about that for people.
Oh, that would be perfect. Yeah. So when we look at your website and also give that to our listeners.
Oh, perfect. They'll know about that as well. Absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful. And thank you. You are so welcome. Thank you for coming on with us. Oh, it was a pleasure chatting with you both. Thank you.
Right. I have one more topic, and we're going to do this very quickly because we're running out of time. Healing past miscarriage grief. Now, let me ask you, I've read somewhere that when a woman has no, that's the wrong story I read. I'm sorry. Go on. We'll just talk about healing past miscarriage, because what I was going to say was when women have premature babies, it's because it's unwanted pregnancy, but we're not on that topic. So let's just, you know, go through this healing past miscarriage grief really quick.
I'll
and then we're going to.
Is something I teach an entire class on, and you know, it can be a whole topic in and of itself, but it really is important. You know, women sometimes when they have a miscarriage really try to just like, okay, you know, gloss over it as fast as they can, you know, to kind of quote unquote get back on that horse, you know, maybe a month, two, sometimes 3 months later. And, you know, when a miscarriage happens, not only does it take a lot of time for the body to really fully rebalance, you want to give the body that amount of time so that, you know, that even if you did get pregnant and you didn't give the body the time, then it's, there's certain health concerns in terms of whether, you know, there's sort of that vitality available, and that can impact, you know, just the genetic expression of the child. But emotionally, there's so many pieces of grieving miscarriage that when you really take the time to do it, then you can really kind of like leave some of that heaviness behind you and move forward into, you know, whatever the next, whatever is next for you. Some women are going to try to get pregnant again, and, you know, and there are some women that won't be able to. But either way, I mainly just want women to know that you can, that there is healing to be had around miscarriage, that they don't have to just deal with it and kind of get over it as fast as they can on their own. Lots of people who come to me kind of have this impression that, like, there's nothing that can be done. And, you know, that's just not true.
Right, right. Wow. Well, this has been a very, very informative 40-hour.
Absolutely.
And almost 2 hours that we're, you know, getting into this topic of infertility. And, you know, you being a specialist on that, I'm quite sure our listening audience, you know, gathered up a lot of knowledge about it. And hopefully they will be emailing you, you know, going to your website. And, you know, we do appreciate you coming up, but you're going to have to come back because there's still some
questions that... I would love to come back.
That...
I know there's so many more things to say.
Right, right. You're going to have to come back. So whenever you're really ready to come back, send me an email and I'll have you back on, because there was just so much, you know, that we could have spoken
awesome.
And talked about. But, you know, because the time is running out, we... we'll have you back on. So let everybody know once again, Mary, your website.
AUfertility.com. It stands for Awaken Unity, which is the parent company. So AUfertility.com is the website.
Okay. And are you on any social media sites where they can catch up with you,
yeah.
like Facebook or anything like that?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter or Facebook, Mary Goyer. Just search for me. I'm pretty much the only one that shows up. So
on Facebook.
Find me there.
Facebook and Twitter
yep.
under the name Mary Goyer. Okay, so
yes.
you guys heard that this evening's guest was Mary Goyer, who is a specialist in holistic fertility, pregnancy, and reproductive health. So if you were out there listening and you have any questions that you would like to ask her personally, you know, feel free to go to her website and get her email address and email her, and, you know, she can get that ball rolling for you if you want to do it holistically.
Absolutely.
Opposed to medically, because, you know, things are better doing them holistically, because you don't have to worry about side effects and, you know, the things that you worry about when you get those chemicals in your body. And we're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our special guest this evening, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on with us this evening.
Yes. Yes. So, Jay, do you want to let everybody know what you're doing on Blog Talk Radio and how to get in touch with you?
Yes, you can check us out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Miss Delicious is my co-host on Erotic Talk Radio. And you can also check us out on Facebook at Erotic Talk Radio. We have a group page, so just check us out at Erotic Talk Radio. And that way you can stay up on our juicy discussions we have on there, but respectful.
Yes, they really are. Okay, now, guys already know how to get in touch with me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm just everywhere. My fifth book, Back to Zero, is available on my website, which is jayjaypublishing.com. Go there, get your copy autographed, and check out my other books as well. and that's that, okay? Now, you know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sometimes sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. And we certainly appreciate our guest this evening, Mary Goyer, and you, our listening audience. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or you can send it to j.dinoblasco@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, giving you guys the best guests and adult conversations on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, yes. Bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Jade, for being here tonight for me. I do appreciate that, and I know that Jadino had phone problems, so, you know, but it's always appreciative when you guys are here. And also my listening audience, love you guys. Be safe. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, if you're driving, don't drink. And if you're drinking, don't drive. I love talking to you, not about you. Love you guys. Good night.
Night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.